Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. It is Thursday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you. We are just loaded today, figuratively and literally, as we get you ready for Nebraska, Northern Illinois. The play-by-play man for them Huskies, Bill Baker, in about 15 minutes. We will talk at length about Sean Eichhorst's statement. He will meet with the media in about an hour, between an hour and 20 minutes after Nebraska's practice. So the kind of pump the brakes on the Black Friday is dead thing. That was the gist of the statement. We will spend plenty of time on that, based on the feedback Hail Varsity's got, based on the feedback on social media, and just radio TV. I mean, Nebraska fans are like, hold on, partner. So there's some wiggle room to maybe keep Black Friday. And good. Okay, we'll get to that. Gary Barnett, Barney Ball, we'll get Coach's thoughts. He knows Northern Illinois very well. We'll get his take on Nebraska in this 3-4. And then the pride of Elkhorn and black shirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Jay Bird's just been busy this week. He gives us a few minutes here. In about an hour and 20 minutes, get his thoughts on the defense, the linebackers, and what lies ahead Saturday. Can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. And can email us to Chris at Hail Varsity, also on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio or at Hail Varsity. So Phil Steele has reached out, and we will get caught up with him in just a second. Excited to talk with Phil, get his take on Nebraska. And without further ado, your college football Bible, Hail Varsity, and yes, the Phil Steele college football preview. Here is Phil Steele. Had a few minutes to chat with him today on Nebraska and some big picture stuff. It's great to catch up with Phil. Welcome in, college football analyst and experts for so many years. College football Bible you get every offseason. Phil Steele is with us back again. Phil, it's 3 weeks into the season. How you doing?
I am doing great. And, you know, Chris, I've talked to you many times in the past. This is the first time I've talked to you from Bristol. They're setting me up with a whole bunch of radio shows, so I'm sitting here in the studio from Bristol, and it's been a lot of fun.
Bristol's a good spot. ESPN is awesome. We're so proud to be an ESPN affiliate, and our affiliates are all ESPN affiliates. And just, you know what, it is great to have you there, and your work speaks for itself. And, you know, college football has not disappointed so far. We will talk national here for a second, but I wanted to get your thoughts here locally here, at least in Nebraska, and your impressions so far on what Nebraska is doing in this transition. Oregon last week, tale of two halves. What do you think about the Big Red?
Well, let me ask you a question, Chris, just because I've been out of the loop for a couple hours here. What's the health status of Trey Bryant this weekend? Because he's been a big cog in that Nebraska offense.
Coach Riley will speak to the media here a couple hours, and that's a great question. I don't know if you rest him or not. It's not a new knee injury, but he's got, as Coach Riley put it, and I'm going to paraphrase, old man knees, okay, that right knee. So, Bryant, they're really cautious and careful with Bryant when it comes to in-week work. They have been so far this season. You saw what he's done on the field against Oregon. You saw what he did against Arkansas State. He's a tremendous back, ton of ability, catching, running, blocking. I mean, he does it all, and very versatile with the football in his hands. So I don't know if he'll go. If he does go, it might be limited touches, but we'll know more later on today from Coach Riley.
I appreciate that, Chris. And my breakdown in Nebraska this year, right now, I'm a little concerned defensively, although I love Bob Diaco. I think he's going to do a great job there. I'm very concerned with the fact they're giving up 532 yards per game, 76% completions, 4.4 yards per carry. Now, Oregon does have a very difficult offense, and Autzen Stadium is one of the toughest out there. But, I mean, the yardage was there by Arkansas State as well. Yeah, again, another good offense. But I need to see that defense get better. And then passing-wise, you know, you look at a guy like Tanner Lee. Tanner Lee had average stats while he was at Tulane, and I sort of poo-pooed that and said, you know, yeah, not a great offense to run, to be QB in, and also not great receivers. But now the stats, once again, 52%, 5-4 ratio. I would like to see Tanner Lee improve greatly, make leaps and bounds in this Mike Riley pass offense. But not having Bryant there in the backfield would be a hurt, because he, to me, has been one of the stars of this season.
No, he's been incredible, and it's not just all Tanner Lee, is it? I mean, you look at some of the drops against Oregon. You look at some of the pressures that Oregon had, and then you lose Bryant in the fourth quarter. He went, Tanner went, you know, 3-14. Excuse me, 4-13 in that fourth quarter throwing the football. So you need those other 10 around you to do well. But I like where the offense can go. They didn't play great and still put up a ton of points. Conversely, defensively, let's spend some time there. And you're pretty real with your analysis and your research, and you just know that when you do a transition, be it a coaching personality or just a scheme, you rarely, if not at all, ever hit on all cylinders. It's kind of a work in progress. Is that kind of your approach to what this defense can become midpoint post-Ohio State, per se, this season or by the end of the year? Do you think they can get to be a pretty reliable group?
I do. And I have great respect for Bob Diaco as the defensive coordinator. I love the job he did at Connecticut. You go back there, they did not have great offense, but they always had a good defense. And the same thing at Notre Dame. And it has taken a little bit longer than I would have expected. I would have thought that they would have had a much improved defense coming in. But I think it will get better. Ohio State will be a tough test. Wisconsin, but by that time of the season, I think we'll see them pretty well adjusted to the schemes.
Now, last thought here before we go national, what's your take on Northern Illinois? I mean, a very proud program, really good program, and they're coming in Saturday.
Talk to Rod Carey in the offseason. Of course, Northern Illinois is a team that won the MAC West every year. Mm-hmm. And then last year, they struggled a little bit, struggled a lot, didn't even make a bowl game. He felt that they were a completely different team this year. Now, Ryan Graham, their starting quarterback, went down, but he had only hit 15 of 38 passes. So Daniel Santa Catarina is in there. And then also keep your eyes on Marcus Childers. Marcus Childers was a guy that coach was very high on, thought he even had a chance of winning the job. It wouldn't be surprised me if you see him play a little bit more in this game than he has so far, because he's probably the most athletic of their quarterbacks. So if Santa Catarina comes out and Marcus Childers comes in, don't take it as a third-string quarterback coming in. Take it as perhaps their most explosive quarterback coming in, and be on guard for that. So I think overall this Northern Illinois team is one that's capable of contending in the MAC West this year. They gave Boston College a good game in the opener, throttled Eastern Illinois, and I think they're capable of giving Nebraska a game in this one.
I think you're right, and Nebraska fans listening to you, Phil Steele, when it comes to that dual threat mobile quarterback, they may be reaching for a beverage is all I'm going to say, because it's those mobile quarterbacks just ruin everybody, you know? They just do it, and they're not fun. Phil Steele, College Football Insider, ESPN, is with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. PhilSteele.com, where you can log on and check him out. Also, you hear him on ESPN. You see him on ESPN breaking down college football. Now, Phil, not a ton of great national games, but I want to circle the one that I'm going to be in front of the TV for after the Nebraska-Northern Illinois game, and that is Clemson and Louisville. Lamar has been incredible. Clemson's defense hasn't missed a beat. How do you feel about this one this weekend?
Well, I can make a great case for Louisville. Remember last year's game went right down to the wire?
Yeah, yep.
And that was in Death Valley. And Louisville had some guy, Lamar Jackson, at quarterback. Clemson had some guy, Deshaun Watson, at quarterback. But Watson's gone. Jackson's still there. They're at home. And how about this? Rarely can a team play an A-plus game in back-to-back weeks. And there's no doubt Clemson played an A-plus game last week. They were fired up at home for Auburn. It was a huge game. Now they got to go on the road fired up again. So I can make a great case for Louisville winning this, but I just like the overall talent that Clemson has. And here's the matchup I like best, Chris, and that is a Clemson defensive line against a somewhat shaky Louisville offensive line. If you watch them so far this year, if you look at them statistically, they're great. 5.9 yards per carry, 2 sacks on the year, but it's also a Louisville team that's benefiting from Lamar Jackson's escapability. And I think if Clemson can rush the quarterback and contain, which they do have the defensive line to do that, then they'll make Lamar Jackson throw the football, much like they did with JT Barrett last year. Now, Jackson's a much improved passer over last year. He's a better passer than JT Barrett is, but I think Clemson will slow him down. On the flip side of the coin, I'm looking for a big game out of Kelly Bryant, their quarterback. Here's the thing. Last week, if I'm their offensive coordinator going into Auburn, I'm like, hey, we got two top 10 defenses here. First, the team that turns the ball over is going to lose it. Let's be conservative. This week, my mindset is, hey, we got to outscore Lamar Jackson. So I think they let Kelly Bryant loose. This is a Louisville secondary that's given up 339 yards per game. Jair Alexander, their top cornerback, questionable. I think you're going to see Kelly Bryant step to the forefront as a major player in college football this year. And I'm going to call for Clemson to go on the road and get the win, something like 34-27.
Could be like that. Bryant's looked pretty comfortable and warming up against Auburn. Not a bad warm-up at all. Auburn's a good football team, and yeah, Clemson will get a shot on the road. Louisville and Lamar, though, don't ever count them out. A couple more minutes. Phil Steele with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Phil, Texas and SC, Herman and company, stung by Maryland. Maryland, really good football team early on. Herman now, I think the line is about 16 or so, the underdog. Herman, whenever he's been underdogged that heavily, has pulled the upset. Texas, though, looks miles away from USC, especially what SC did to Stanford last week. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, 6-0 against ranked teams for Tom Herman. Last year upset both Houston and Oklahoma. Very impressive. But I got to tell you this, Chris. If Stanford played Texas this week, looking at the talent that they have on the field and the way they're playing, I'd probably favor Stanford by about 14 points. And here's a USC team that thrashed Stanford with a 342-yard edge. Frankly, I thought Stanford would make it a closer game last week, and USC dominated them in the trenches, which I didn't think they could. They've got Ronald Jones and Stephen Carr running back. Some guy, Sam Darnold, the quarterback, who I think will be the number one pick in next year's draft. Burnett and Mitchell as receivers. It's a very good USC team. So I like the Trojans to win this one and win it much more comfortably. I think the Tom Herman magic is there, but I don't think the talent is there for Texas.
Phil, I want to go Big Ten here. Do you think Ohio State gets things figured out? Barrett's a leader. Barrett's a winner. Barrett's had issues against about everybody going downfield, and Coach Meyer will no doubt address that, and Kevin Wilson will address that. But can Ohio State get right by the time they see Penn State? Can they get right by the time they hook up with Michigan? Do you think the Ohio State offense gets fixed?
Yes. And I think it's going to be a similar to 2014. Remember 14?
Yeah.
Ohio State lost Braxton Miller, right? So the season's in chaos. They're going to go with JT Barrett as your quarterback. They struggled against Navy in the opener. They got beat by Virginia Tech, 35-21 at home. Barrett was 9-29. They were going nowhere. If Ohio State gets to a mid, 6-6, they're going to be lucky this year without Braxton Miller. Kent State the next week, 628 yards, 66 points, 760 the next week. And look what the elixir is this year. Army this week. And Army's, while Army has a very good defense statistically, they don't play Power 5 teams. So they, when they got matched up against Notre Dame last year, Notre Dame had 38 points in the first half against them. I think they get healthy there. UNLV's defense, I talked to UNLV's head coach in the offseason. They're going to have an explosive offense. We'll leave it at that. Ohio State's going to score some points on UNLV. Rutgers defense, they're going to put up some points. Maryland's defense, I think they put up points. Now, after four games of doing that, having Kevin Wilson call the controls, we know Kevin Wilson's an outstanding offensive coordinator. I think Ohio State will be a much more confident team when they roll into Lincoln, Nebraska midseason.
Let's stay with Ohio State and Oklahoma and get your thoughts on that weekend performance. And I just didn't know what to expect. I thought Baker would have a great game. He did. I thought Ohio State secondary would reload. They haven't yet. It's new starters for Shiano. Not that they can't be good by end of year. But were you surprised at what happened at the Shoe?
I was. I had Ohio State last week. Felt pretty good about it at the half, and then Oklahoma just took care of them in the second half, and 409 yards at 350. And, Chris, on my website, philsteele.com, we give out individual game grades on each game. The computer grades them. And generally the grades are 70, 80, 90 in that range. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma for that game earned an individual game grade of 124.5. It's the best performance in college football this year, even better than what Alabama did against a very good Florida State team. Came away very impressed with Oklahoma. Came away with question marks, as you touched on. Quarterback, secondary. This will be my main question. Maybe wide receiver as well for Ohio State. They need some wide receivers to step up, but very impressive by Oklahoma.
Phil, as we wind down, Phil Steele is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, philsteele.com, and you catch Phil on ESPN Radio and, of course, ESPN at ESPN2, breaking down college football. at this point through heading into week three, some teams that have pleasantly surprised you and some teams maybe you're backing away from based on their starts to the season?
Well, Florida is one team that I'm very concerned with at this point. I had my number one surprise team. I wish somebody would have told me they were going to suspend 10 players, including their top running back and receiver prior to the year. Also that they were going to get hit by a hurricane disrupting their practices. It's been major turmoil for Florida, both off the field and then, of course, the guys that aren't playing as well. It'll be interesting to see if they can rebound this week against Tennessee. So concerned about them. Positive side, I look at Duke. I mean, Duke did just beat Northwestern last week. They thrashed him. And Justin Jackson, he was nowhere in the run game. Duke held him to 16 yards rushing. David Cutcliffe's done this to me before. I mean, he can take less talent and win, and that was an impressive, one of Duke's best offensive and defensive games that they put together.
Michigan, where are you on Harbaugh's kids? And they're really young, but they look pretty exciting defensively.
Yeah, Don Brown knows what he's got on defense. They've got one of the better defenses out there. I had their defensive line rated in my top 10, despite the fact they lost all four starters up front. I don't know if that's ever happened in the magazine before, but it shows you the talent level they have there. Now, question marks, how about Wilton Spade at quarterback? I mean, he has looked iffy so far. I don't think you could pin a lot on him, and that would probably be my major question mark coming into the rest of the season. Plus, two other things concern me with Michigan, and it has to do with schedule. They have to play Penn State in a whiteout condition. They have to play Wisconsin on the road the week before they play Ohio State. But they pass their first test. We'll see if they can keep it rolling. But they're going to need to develop a quarterback here this year. Wilton Spade has not looked like that QB that they had in the first half of last year.
Phil Steele, can follow him at Phil Steele on Twitter. And you read him, of course, philsteele.com. You hear him and watch him with ESPN. Phil, awesome to catch up. Let's do this again. Thanks for a few minutes with us.
Yeah, a lot of fun, as always, Chris. Great to hear your voice again, my friend.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. You can log on to HailVarsity.com. A story up from Jacob Padilla and some discussion going on the message boards regarding I-Course, his statement, and Coach Riley's statement. We'll have thoughts on that, and you'll hear from I-Course later after practice, the whole Black Friday kind of blow up and reaction by Nebraska fans with the Big Ten schedules. Really good radio guy and a tremendous football program in Northern Illinois. Bill Baker joins us to talk Huskies and Huskers for a few minutes. Big thanks to Phil Steele. Last segment. Bill, great to spend some time with you this afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Chris. Appreciate the invitation. Always happy to talk college football. So far, so good, my friend. I haven't messed anything up today, at least as far as I can tell.
Well, that's you know what? Days. My father would tell me I still got a lot of day left, but, you know.
Yeah, that's, I know. I was going to say, but give me some time. There's still daylight to burn here, so.
There is. Well, I look at this Northern Illinois team, and I know the program's history and the tradition and how Coach Carey's been against the Big Ten. And that's where I want to start. What can this Northern Illinois team be right now? And I know the record, and I know the strengths, at least statistically, but you've been seeing this team for a while. How close to some of the vintage Northern Illinois teams could this team become?
You know, the real difference, Chris, between this particular team and the club that back in 2014 went in and won at Northwestern, I think maybe a year before that, won at Purdue, and I think maybe the year after that, one at Iowa. The biggest difference is the experience at the quarterback spot. It's something we just had the darndest luck with over the past couple of years. You go back 2015, for example, we actually had three different quarterbacks start, and injuries, you know, primarily the reason. We had four different guys start last year, and the guy that had led us to a Big Ten, to a Mid-American Conference Championship, Drew Hare. He had season-ending injuries in both 2015 and 2016, and 2016 was the career-ender because he was out of time. And so you've had to dip down in those quarterback ranks a little bit. And today we have a redshirt junior by the name of Ryan Graham, who was our starter, won the battle, and it was quite a battle between him and a redshirt sophomore in downhill Santa Catarina, from spring ball through, you know, the summer workouts, and then right in the fall camp, and right up to the opening game. I mean, it won two, and it was really tough to discern who was going to get the nod. Graham got the nod, and then he went down after the game against Boston College. He sprained the elbow, I think, in the second of the last series, so that left Santa as the only guy on the roster who had taken a snap in Major College Football. He got the start last week and did well against Eastern Illinois. But really, I mean, you know, the skill is there at the running back. I think we have a tremendous offensive line. Wide receiver, yeah, we took a hit there too with Chad Beebe, so that might be a little bit of a question mark. I think he was tabbed to be our number one guy coming in. And statistically, over the first couple of games, it looked as though that would be the case. And then on the defensive side of things, we've had some pleasant surprises, and things are looking good there. So really, to answer your question, it's the experience at the quarterback that's kind of holding back right now.
Bill Baker, play-by-play man for Northern Illinois with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Santa Catarina is going to get his start. How much will Nebraska see Marcus Childers?
It will depend, I think, pretty much on the ball game. That's the way it was with Eastern Illinois, and we didn't see Marcus until, I don't know, maybe midway through the fourth quarter. It was a strange game. It was a little bit like your game out at Oregon the other day, and it had a 31-3 lead at the half, extended that to 38-3. There was one drive where we had entered their territory. I mean, they got down to the 30, and I thought, you punch it in right here. And this was back in the third quarter. It's going to be Marcus Childers' time, and Rod Carey pretty much confirmed that to us. We didn't get in. He didn't get it until some more time had elapsed off of the clock. But he's a guy he's against, you know, having a separate package for a quarterback. And we did that with Jordan Lynch. Mm-hmm. And Lynch was a sophomore. We had to get him on the field. But since that time, you know, he's really been hesitant to do that. So this is pretty much going to be Santa's game until, you know, the good Lord forbid somebody gets hurt, and we don't need any of that, or somebody's way ahead or way behind.
Bill, what trait of this Huskies team will Nebraska fans see on Saturday morning? Is it going to be speed? Is it going to be physicality? Is it going to be kind of just athleticism? I mean, what I guess, identity best describes this team?
You know, Chris, they're going to run the football. I mean, they've done that. This is my 38th year doing this thing, and over the past 20, 25 years, this has been a club that has thrived and has had success running the football. You know, the list of names are long, you know, the 1,000-yard rushers, and they're not going to change anything going into Nebraska. They're going to try to set up the pass, you know, with their ground game, and they will run the football. And they do have some speed in the backfield. The offensive line is talented. Offensive linemen are not noticeably quick, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But they'll try to run the football. I think we're very athletic in some of the defensive positions. And when you go into a season having lost everybody across your defensive front from the year before and two of your three linebackers, you got some question marks. And you know, the first couple of games, these guys have availed themselves very, very well. In fact, I think the speed issue has been the biggest surprise, how quickly they've been able to get to the ball. And I was looking at our notes the other day. I noticed that our linebackers, we have linebackers, four of them, out of our top five tacklers after a couple of games. And when you can get those stops from the linebacking core, as opposed to having this stuff go into the secondary, you know, you're doing something right.
No, you get to the football. I think your defensive line's pretty good. They're not experienced per se, but they're making their presence felt. What's your impression of Nebraska? You've seen Arkansas State film. You saw what happened in Oregon, and that's kind of a night and day thing. You have a team that's trying to stay confident, get better, but there's still so much going wrong, or that has gone wrong the first two games defensively against spread offenses. What do you guys think of Nebraska coming in?
Well, you're going to see the spread from NIU. Let's get that clear right away. In fact, you'll see it. They'll throw out of it. They'll also run the Dickens out of it. They'll run the jet sweeps out of the spread, and they'll run their regular ground game out of the spread. So don't be surprised if you see that. You know, to get back to your initial question, Chris, two things I can tell you about that. Number one, Nebraska is one of these, I call them blue-blooded college football programs. They've been around, you know, for years. They've had success for years. They've won, albeit a while ago, they've won national championships. They've been in the top 10, in the top 12. That's nothing new to this program. It's tradition. And, you know, the 90-some thousand people that will probably pack the place on Saturday are expected to see more of the, you know, a little bit more of that. You know, the second thing about, you know, Nebraska and Northern Illinois, Arkansas State comes in and they play a seven-point game. I don't know how close, you know, you researched Arkansas State, but that's a pretty good football team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Sun Belt, when you look at that, it doesn't elicit a lot of fear in opposition. But it's a good football league. They were picked, I think, third in the Sun Belt. They've never been picked to win it, yet they've won it five out of the last 6 years. It's a club that had a bulk of talent coming back from last year. The player of the year, the defender of the year in the Sun Belt were back. Eight primary letter winners were back. This is a club that is a good football team at Arkansas State. Would have loved to have seen them play Miami to see what would have happened, but, sure, you know, Irma has something to say about that. That would have been a real test, but you guys had a challenge. So that was not like an FCS club at end or anything. Now, that's a good ball club. So you hung with them. You won the doggone game. Oregon, I don't know. I hate to say this about Oregon, but, you know, maybe after the first half, they thought, hey, we've got this in hand. Let's not get hurt. You know, and then you guys, to your credit, you know, came more and right back and made a ball game of it. But, hey, this is, you know, either way you look at it, Nebraska is still one of those programs that, you know, elicits respect from the opposition, you know, more so, I think, than a lot of others do. And it's going to be an interesting ball game come Saturday, I think, anyway.
Bill Baker is with us, play-by-play man for the Huskies. Northern Illinois comes to town, 11 o'clock kick against Nebraska. And, Bill, to wrap up with you, my friend, thanks for your time. The question out there on HailVarsity.com, we want to know. I know we'll see good football. I know we'll see a talented program from the MAC. But is Mission, the Husky, going to make the road trip? What's the word on that?
I mean, yeah, he's the Husky took over from the dearly departed Diesel several years ago. Had been on the sidelines for years and years, and I'm guessing I've seen him on the road. It's not, you know, a release necessarily, and I do not have week to week contact with his handlers. I would not be surprised to see him. It's not a horrible drive, you know, to get from the DeKalb area over to Lincoln. I think it's about 7 hours, maybe seven and a half, depending upon, you know, how many times you have to. You know, to make a side trip.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'll just say 50-50 on that one.
That's fine.
I'm better luck predicting, you know, the starting lineup and whether or not Mission's going to be over. Hope he is, though, because I think the crowd would love it.
No, Mission, yeah. And the Schmidt family is extending an invite to Mission. From us to Northern Illinois, and Mission can hang out with Roz the Labradoodle, okay?
The Labradoodle. That's something I think I need to see to completely understand. But if I bump into them, I will most certainly extend the invitation.
Wonderful. Bill, I look forward to seeing you in the press box. Have a great call, and thanks for a few minutes with us.
It's a pleasure, Chris. Thank you so much. And I can tell everybody, you know, best of luck to you guys and the program. But just as soon as we get out of town.
Yeah. Take care. There he goes.
Yeah.
Bill Baker, play-by-play man for Northern Illinois, the Huskies. So 50-50. And I had to get that question in there for Vogel. We'll break down a little further Northern Illinois. And you heard Phil Steele say it to start the show. I mean, they have a dual-threat quarterback that you may see. Bill's like, maybe. And if Mission is making the trip, come on, we need more live mascots visiting Memorial Stadium. That's my take anyway. You plan to go out tonight, get the weekend started, please plan that safe ride home. And if you don't, you drink, you drive, you'll lose. I tell you that, you'll face a DWI. Could cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees and jail time, and you'll be required to install the interlock device on your vehicle. What if she asks what that is? You'll have to tell her, okay? Not a good idea. If you're going out tonight, find that sober ride home before you do go out. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. We are loaded up. Coming up, Gary Barnett, Jay Moore. We'll dive into this Black Friday statement from Sean Eichhorst. Nothing set in stone is the paraphrase of it. Your chance at Northern Illinois, Nebraska, and Blur Party passes this hour. Next hour, we'll do our drawing at 5:50 tonight. Hail Varsity continues.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Okay, we are back at Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, producing, engineering, contributing. Okay, let's get into what was sent out today from Sean Eichhorst on the Black Friday. The why this was sent out is very obvious. The blowback, the feedback, the frustration, the anger, the irritation by Nebraska fans. And listen, the old Hail Varsity Twitter poll was up, and that doesn't speak gospel, but it's a lot of your reactions and votes. And you've heard feedback on Facebook and seen it. You've seen Twitter feedback. You've different media outlets have been running with this and asking the question, are you ticked off if Black Friday goes away? And darn it, we're spending a third day in some form or fashion on it. And right now, Nebraska fans probably don't care who they're playing. Nebraska fans care that they won't be playing. So Sean Eichhorst has put his statement out. Again, he'll speak with the media. Soonest it could happen, 20 minutes. Latest could be about 5:30. When it happens, we will tell you, okay? So here's Sean Eichhorst's statement. I want to clarify Nebraska's position regarding the dates of our season-ending football games in 2020 and 2021, as announced earlier by the Big Ten. At this time, no final decision has been made on what dates these two games will actually be played. As in past years, the Big Ten releases opponent matchups, typically assigns them to be on Saturday. That has been the case in the past when we agreed to move our season-ending game against Iowa to Saturday, from Saturday to Friday. Moving forward, we will do everything possible to maintain our tradition of playing games on Friday after Thanksgiving. We look forward to playing Iowa on the Friday after Thanksgiving through 2019. Okay, so there is backtracking going on. Part of the statement when this came out, it's student welfare and safety. You look bad because you signed up and green-lighted all these stupid Friday night games against the Illinois and Purdue's and whoever the hell of the world. Now you say no more Friday nights or Fridays because of student welfare. What is it? Okay? And he'll clarify that tonight. He needs to be given a chance to be heard on this. Here is what needs to be asked. Did Nebraska get dumped? Does the Big Ten and Fox, or whoever's going to be taking TV, it's Fox, it's what Wisconsin and Iowa. If that's the case, then you did get dumped. Keep the Friday. Absolutely. And if you got to stick it out with Minnesota, so be it. And if you're going to rotate, so be it. Maybe some years you'll get Wisconsin. I pray that that happens on Black Friday, that you get Nebraska, Wisconsin. But Nebraska's got to do their part. That means no more 42-14 first halves. No more bludgeoning by Iowa 40-13 on Black Friday on ABC. Got to be competitive. Got to be good. Got to start winning something. It's everyone's goal that wears red down there. I get it. Nebraska fans and Nebraska players and Nebraska coaches all want the same thing, to win. To win big, to win often. But this, well, sure, we'll play Friday nights against the Illini. Student welfare and safety, it's contradicting himself. You can't do it. And I'm glad that there's a statement out that Nebraska, per this statement from Sean Eichhorst, says we'll pursue to try and keep those Friday things traditionally happening. Because Nebraska doesn't have a lot left, right? You have 90,000 in the stands. You have just boatload of academic All-Americans. You have the five national championships. You're honoring 1997 this year. Great. What can you still control right now? And that's the Friday after Thanksgiving. And 14 is less than 48. 14 teams are playing on Black Friday this season. 48 are playing on Saturday. Between now and 2020, how about you have a number next to your name in the lower digits or teens? That means you're ranked by the end of the year. Last time you finished ranked with a single digit next to your name was 2001, 16 years ago. You've gone into the season, the last several seasons, either ranked or you've worked your way into the polls. Last year, you were ranked as high as sixth or seventh, and you were ninth after an overtime loss going into the Ohio State game. So you need to get better at playing ball, and you need to get better at finding a way to heat up the quarterback. All these things that help you win big games. And you need to find a way to still matter nationally. One way you can do that is by being on TV on Black Friday. You may not be the first or eighth choice of somebody out west or south or in SEC country or in the Northeast or even the Midwest. Guess what? They have to watch or they don't watch. Don't give them an option to not have you on to BC. Period. So I'm glad that this statement came out. I'm glad that it'll be addressed in about 15 to 20 minutes. So those are good things for Nebraska. And the end of the statement from Sean Eichhorst about addressing it and trying to keep that tradition going. And if you're stuck with Minnesota in 20 and 21, which you are, and you say, hey, PJ, if you're still around, brother, let's do this thing on Black Friday. And I see your road game, and let's up it and move it to the Viking Stadium. The new Viking Stadium. The still new Viking Stadium in 2020 and 2021. There's my thoughts. At least there's been some correction on this. That is a good thing. It'll be addressed. We'll see if it gets pushed through to keep Black Friday from happening. Okay. Let me tell you a little bit what's coming up. Gary Barnett is 15 minutes away on Hail Varsity Radio. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore will join us. Excited to talk with Jay Bird. And we'll give you a chance to qualify here shortly for Nebraska Northern Illinois tickets and Blur party passes. That's a good thing. And I want to remind you here from your friends at Madonna Therapy Plus. Don't let knee, hip, shoulder, or back strain or pain put that life of yours on hold. Recover faster with Madonna Therapy Plus for your physical therapy needs. And maybe you tweak yourself in that pickup game. Or maybe you tweak if you're trying to run that out route and junior's throwing you the football. Madonna Therapy Plus can be there for you. Skilled therapists using the most advanced technology to help you get right and get the results you need and get you back on the trail. Say you like to bike, say you like to walk, or just get back on that perfect trail for life quickly and safely. Listen, 10 years and counting, Madonna Therapy Plus voted Lincoln's number one choice for physical therapy. Three convenient locations in Lincoln, one in West Omaha, too. Madonna Therapy Plus, the answer you need. Get back in that game of life now. Madonna Therapy Plus can help you do it. Learn more. Log on and visit therapyplus.org. We'll qualify you for Nebraska Northern Illinois tickets and Blur Party Passes coming up shortly.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Guy who knows a lot about Black Friday, Gary Barnett. In 10 minutes, Jay Moore knows a lot about Black Friday, played against those Buffs for a number of years. Next hour, your chance shortly at Northern Illinois, Nebraska tickets, Blur party passes. We'll do that drawing in 1 hour. Colton, and those magic fingers of his, will draw a lucky winner for those Blur Party Passes and Northern Illinois, Nebraska tickets. We are at Miller Time Pub tomorrow, 4 to 6, inside the Cornhusker Marriott Hotel. If you haven't been to Miller Time, it is incredible. Great TV setup. But most importantly, it's the High Life Hour that crosses and meshes over, kind of like that perfect zone read with us at Hail Varsity. We are there 4 to 6. High Life Hour is 4 to 7. They have great specials off bottles and draft beers and a great selection of those. On top of the Miller products you love and enjoy, they have appetizer specials. It is just a lot of fun. And listen, if you haven't been inside the Cornhusker Marriott for a while, I think last time I was in there prior to checking this thing out and being very, very pleased and blessed to be able to do a show on the road on Home Football Fridays at Miller Time Pub. I think it was prom with my now wife, okay? I mean, I'd straggle in there from time to time, but listen, Miller Time Pub's awesome. It's a lot of fun. 13th and L, it's where you're at, where we're at, and where we want to see you tomorrow. Home Football Fridays at Miller Time Pub. And they have some really good kettle chips you can snack on just for showing up. On top of the fact, you can order a frosty one and check us out. Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, he ain't going to be wearing scrubs tomorrow, but he is going to be joining me on Hail Varsity tomorrow, 4 to 6. Excited to have him there. So that is what's on the docket tomorrow on the road, Miller Time Pub. We want to see you there, 4 to 6, with Hail Varsity and ESPN. Coming into town from Kearney, from Hastings, from Grand Island, from North Platte, from Columbus, early. It's an 11 o'clock kick. Don't blame you. Come see us. Say what's up. How are you? Get rolling. Okay, caller 9 and 10. Caller 9 and 10 qualifies for Northern Illinois, Nebraska tickets and Blur Party Passes. 1 hour from now, the drawing will happen, and you'll be able to check that football game out. But to do so, you got to qualify. Caller 9, caller 10. Right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 9, caller 10 qualifies. We will draw in 1 hour for Nebraska and Northern Illinois tickets and those Blur Party Passes. Not only you get in and see Nebraska, Northern Illinois, but you get to do your thing beforehand with the good folks from Blur. And we thank them as well. Caller 9, caller 10, qualify right now. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Gary Barnett, Northwestern, Colorado, Sports USA Radio, the Buff Network, Barney Ball in about 10 minutes, and Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, Jay Moore. And then, yes, in 1 hour, it is time to decide who wins the Northern Illinois-Nebraska tickets. Qualify now, 9 and 10, caller 9 and 10, and those Blur Party Passes. Quick hour, Phil Steele, magnificent to get it started. Bill Baker was good stuff from Northern Illinois. Hour two, Gary Barnett, next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to an hour two. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. He's not wearing that Buff sweatshirt today. It's all right. I don't know if Gary Barnett's wearing a Buff shirt today or not, but we got him. Coach Gary Barnett, Northwestern Colorado, Sports USA Radio, the Buff Radio Network, and a man who knows about Black Friday football. Coach Barnett, how are you, sir?
Chris, I'm so good. If I wasn't me, I'd want to be me.
good for you. Good round of golf, it sounds like, my friend.
Well, yeah, I'm playing injured, so, but it was still wasn't too bad. So.
What injury do we have here?
Oh, I have a meniscus tear. So,
really?
You know, yeah, just running around with my grandkids and age and all that stuff. So anyway, it'll be okay.
The back pedal's still good, I think. Okay. Coach, I got to start off with Black Friday. You had the Big Ten schedules come out. What are we talking? Tuesday. This week's kind of a blur. Tuesday. And Nebraska and Minnesota now are the end of game opponents. It's no longer Iowa. Now, this is obviously in the future, but the Big Ten folks got together and said, let's rotate. Let's kind of mix it up a bit. And we don't really care as Nebraskans that much about Iowa, but it was kind of growing on us because it was getting good
until they
curb stomped you last year. And it's what Nebraskans have known. Nebraska, Colorado, you lived that. Nebraska, Oklahoma before that. In your opinion, how big is that Black Friday opportunity for Nebraska?
I think it's huge. I mean, it was huge. Every kid, I mean, at the time when we played it, I think there was maybe two big games that weekend, or that Friday.
Right.
It seemed like Texas A&M and Texas played, mm-hmm. and then Colorado and Nebraska. We traded off, whether we went early or late, mm-hmm. and on Friday. But every house that you go into when you're recruiting, everybody watched that game. And it was the most consistently watched weekend and game of all the games that we played. Everybody knew the Colorado, or from our standpoint, our perspective anyway, everybody knew the Colorado-Nebraska game was on the day after Thanksgiving, and everybody watched it, and they could tell you everything that happened in the game. So it's a huge opportunity, and maybe it isn't as much as it was then because there are more games out there, it mm-hmm. seems like, but it was big for us then.
Well, and Sean Eichhorst, I mean, there's been blowback, and some folks don't care about it. I think maybe some of the younger demo could take it or leave it, and that also has something to do with Nebraska being ranked / relevant when you get to Black Friday. Iowa's been pretty consistent, and they were fighting for a Big Ten title and a national championship or playoff appearance berth. A couple of years ago, the 2015 team, right? And that was Mike's first year here, and that was a tight ball game. You look at that opportunity and the visibility, you're right on, and it still is cloudy and is diluted as TV and football are now because you got 1,000 games on every Saturday and you probably have 15 to 20 games on that Black Friday. You're still the Nebraska brand and the Big Ten just wanting to mix it up. What's your reaction to that? And do you think there's anything to Nebraska's brand appeal slipping?
Well, I'm not sure if mm-hmm. it's totally slipped. I don't think it is what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was in the Big 12 and we were all in the Big 12, I think we had a special niche,
mm-hmm.
and Nebraska was Nebraska and Oklahoma, and at the time Colorado, the three of us were going to be we were going to be the top three teams in the league, and Kansas State would come in, and then Okie State would have a shot, but that's who it was going to be. So the game on Friday was always going to be between two teams that had a chance to win the league for the most part. And has it slipped? I think it's changed since going to the Big Ten. I think that's the right word to use in this situation.
Well, and Sean Eichhorst will address the media here shortly. He may be doing it right now. But there is a statement out because he wanted to make sure that folks knew that it's not set in stone. Paraphrasing this statement that they're going to try and do everything they can to keep Black Friday, but earlier comments was student welfare and safety. Fridays aren't a good thing, but at first Nebraska was good with signing up for Friday night football. They're playing Illinois in 2 weeks on a Friday night, so I don't know where it lies, that line of what's your true feeling. I think the reaction by Nebraska fans has been anger about not keeping that Black Friday thing, and the showcase, you've highlighted how important it's been, and if you rotate it, is that a big deal to you? You've been in the Big Ten a long time. You kind of made Iowa your rival, correct? So that was someone you guys kind of called out and picked on and beat, quite honestly. And do you think it matters who Nebraska ends with, or is it more about just being able to keep that Friday?
Well, I do think it has something to do with who they play.
Okay.
And I agree that the Iowa thing was a growing natural rivalry. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think Minnesota is going to be a team that's going to be up there.
Okay.
And I think that I think that can grow into a pretty nice rivalry personally. Okay. And so keeping the Black Friday for the brand, keeping the Black Friday for just the visibility that it has, I'm telling you, you know, I don't know about student welfare, but I know there's a lot of people watching that game. And it was always packed, whether it was at your place or at our place, it was packed. And, you know, you can't fight the stats on that. It was. And so I think it's a great opportunity, and I'd fight for it, too, if I were a Nebraska fan.
Mm-hmm. Gary Barnett, a few minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, let's get to the game, okay? What did you think of the Oregon-Nebraska contest? And I need your thoughts on Northern Illinois. I mean, you know that program extremely well.
Well, you know, I watched almost all the second half. I got a chance to watch it, and you know, Nebraska certainly had their chance to win that game. They really did. I mean, you get into the, you know, there was plenty of time left in that fourth quarter for them to go down and score, and more than once even, but at least score to tie that game up. And, you know, it just looked like to me just they ran out of gas, and just Oregon found just enough to pull it off. But I thought it was a great comeback. I thought it was a terrific comeback. It looked like to me that the defensively guys started figuring it out. And so, you know, it ended up being a great game to watch. It wasn't a great game to lose. It would have been a great game to win. So, but you certainly got everybody's attention. But, you know, Nebraska did, but so did Oregon. And, you know, really, you play those games like that, and they're great for fans, and it's great for the game. Mm-hmm. And I admire both teams for playing opponents like that. You know, here at Colorado, we're playing Texas State last week, and we've got the University of Northern Colorado this week. We can't give tickets away, you know, and so fans want to see the other. They want to see teams like Oregon and Nebraska go after it. And so I thought they had a chance. You know, it seemed like they found their traction in the second half defensively, for sure. You know, I don't know whether Oregon pulled in the reins a little bit, pulled in their horns, and didn't keep their foot on the gas. That's easy to say.
Mm-hmm.
But usually when you get to that situation, what happens is you get pretty cocky when you're ahead like that, that far ahead. And people naturally take their foot off the gas. It's not an effort that you make. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't talk about it and say, okay, let's take our foot off the gas. That's not the way it works. You know, you got a good team coming in this week, and that's a good team in that league and have been. And, you know, I think the defense is going to continue to get better just because of the things we've talked about almost every week, that how difficult it is, or not difficult, the challenge that you have of getting kids into a new system and getting them lined up and getting them comfortable and confident in that system. And, you know, I read a quote by Bobby Diaco about the sequencing of all that and how long it takes. I agree with him 100% that is so true. Offensively balanced, you know, it just looks like to me you got one guy that carries the ball and you got one guy that catches the ball, and that's who you defend, and you'll beat Nebraska if you can do that. So I think until they get a little more balance in that offense, you got to complete better than 52% of the passes as well. You know, that, you know, defense will come along, but when they do show up, then there's got to be somebody on the other side showing up as well. And I think that's got to improve as I watch, yes, statistically and watch the game. There's some great plays in that game, but there's got to be more balance.
Well, and from a number standpoint, offensively, it's been good for Nebraska with the run game. 41 pass attempts by Lee. What did you think of Lee? I mean, I know he missed some throws. I know all the picks weren't his fault, but he still had, you know, two. I mean, Oregon was plus two. Do you think he'll get better from this, or is he going to be a guy that's up and down?
No, you know, I was impressed with Lee. I thought I really did. I when I looked at that game, I've watched the last two games, and really I've been impressed with him in both games. I said, you know, they've got a quarterback, is what I said. So now the other pieces have to fall in line. And you know, there certainly are some pieces that are already there. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the quarterback is the issue, as I would watch that team.
The issue is just the balance, the O-line, more receivers. What's the issue?
So, you know, I think one is balance for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you can't be fighting from 42 to whatever it was.
Can't be down four touchdowns.
14.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's putting a lot of pressure on you. But it looked like to me the pieces were in place, at least from a quarterback standpoint. You know, you got an outstanding running back. That kid's really good.
Yeah.
And the receiver's just making great plays. He made a great catch. So, you know, those are in place. You just need more. It looks like to me defense will come along.
What's Coach, a couple minutes here. What's a natural timeline, or is there even one, for Diaco and this need to get better? Because right now they're addressing the missteps, but they're trying to keep their confidence, because you got some young guys and new starters that, I mean, they've been beaten up the last 2 weeks.
Well, I can tell you, Colorado, it took an entire year.
Sure, okay.
It really did. And, you know, some of that has to do with the quality players. You know, my guess is, The players that Diaco inherited were better than the players that Jim Leavitt inherited. Although, you know, there was three of them taken in the draft and four of them taken in the draft and all on defense. So, but I would guess that the kids in Lincoln were a little further along than the kids in Colorado.
Coach, about 60 seconds. About 90 seconds here. I need to get your take here on Clemson-Louisville. That's the game of the weekend.
Well, and it could be a great game. I watched Clemson, and I don't know if you see him play. I have not seen Louisville, but I watched Clemson, and that quarterback is a heck of a player.
I was
surprised that they could replace you know, the kid they had last year so quickly. But he is a stallion. So I was impressed with him. And as good as they are on defense, you know, if they win this game, I mean, they really pretty much have a lock going in. You know, I mean, they'd have to really have some things happen bad to them to not, you know, be in that championship game for at least for the conference. Mm-hmm. And then a real good chance to move back into the Final Four again.
Gary Barnett is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, kind enough to be with us on Thursdays. His thoughts on Black Friday on Nebraska and Clemson and Louisville. Coach, keep that knee iced, all right?
I will. Little cortisone, just a little bit, I think.
Well, good for you. Enjoy your weekend, Coach, and we'll talk next week. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you, Chris. Good to be with you.
Uh-huh. There he is, Gary Barnett with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Love talking with him. And Coach, he applied, and he told us this story a couple of years ago. We just ran out of time. That he applied for the Northern Illinois job after Coach Kill left. So, I mean, that's a program, an area he was super interested in getting back into. So, but he knows he loves Northern Illinois program and what they are and what they've been able to do. So, he's right. And if you kind of stop what Nebraska's doing run-wise, and you kind of D up and don't get more balance with DeMornay and Stanley and Hoppus catching the ball, could be a little tight. 13 points is the number. So that's what it is. So I want to remind you about what's going on with your friends at Vintage Red Sports Gallery. Vintage Red, right next to Oklahoma Joe's. JC and the gang down there, they have incredible options and items for you with Vintage Red. And with Vintage Red, they are all about catering to the Nebraska fan, and they have memorabilia from Coach Osborne to Bob Devaney to Mike Rozier. jerseys, helmets, awards, you want to come see it. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, 11 to 7. Admission's $5 with a portion donated to teammates. And see the new arrival, Joe McDermott, original artwork of great Husker posters. Vintage Red, if you're heading down to the stadium this weekend for Northern Illinois, Vintage Red a must stop to. Vintage Red Gallery next to Oklahoma Joe's.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Good day today. We bring in Blackshirt Husker NFLer number 44, Jay Moore, at Jay Moore 44, part of Hail Varsity. Jay Bird, you've been playing some golf, you've been doing Big Red Wrap-Up, you heard that Black Friday's no more. Hit the brakes on that, we'll talk about it in a second. How are you, dude?
I'm doing good, Schmitty. I'm doing well. Hanging in there and looking forward to a better performance by the football team on Saturday, hopefully.
Earlier today, release came out from Sean Eichhorst. As we talk right now, he may be speaking to the media. You know, no final decisions been made. It's pretty much the short and long version of the Black Friday / move it to Saturday thing. You're a guy who grew up in this state. You're a guy who watched Oklahoma on TV the day after Thanksgiving, just like me. Maybe I've just blacked that memory out, but I don't remember it not ever being any other day post that Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving for Oklahoma. Then you move it to Colorado because of the whole Big 12 shenanigans. And you settle on Iowa. I don't care about Iowa that much, but they've been growing on me, okay? And first and foremost, the prestige of being a team that's been able to be on Black Friday and be at showcase at 11 or 2:30 or... It's been good for Nebraska. Has Nebraska earned to keep that spot? I don't know, but it's been there for them. What did it mean to you to play Colorado all those years the day after?
Yeah, it was fun. Playing Colorado, a lot of times it was to win the North.
It was important.
It was very important. I mean, every game's important, no matter if it's on a Thursday, a Friday, or a Saturday, sure. Or even a Sunday. But it was nice to go in there and know that you're going to play in front of a national TV audience because there's only maybe two to three games. It really, usually had Texas A&M when they were still in the Big 12 on the Thursday. Then you usually had LSU, Arkansas, mm-hmm. I believe, was always that Friday as well. And you had our game. So there wasn't a lot. And you knew that majority of people are, watching these games, probably hungover from Thanksgiving, from all the food, all they drank, and they're turning into 11 or 2:30 o'clock kickoff that you're playing Colorado. It's cool to know that you have all the attention on you for that few hours. You go play a football game on Friday. You get a little extra day to rest, to watch football on your own that next Saturday before you have to get back at it because either you're getting ready for a bowl game or potentially a Big 12 or Big 10 title game, whatever it may be. It kind of sucks to see it go. I would honestly like to see them get Wisconsin in that spot. That would be phenomenal. That would mean more to me than Iowa, even though Iowa, we've struggled, but it's Wisconsin. You kind of feel like that's our rivalry now, especially in the West and now in the Big 10. That's kind of who you're fighting, who you're jockeying for to win you feel like every year for the Big Ten. So hopefully they'll get it figured out. Hopefully Eichhorst will go to bat for Nebraska in that game back on Friday, just because that's what that's what you're used to. And hopefully he can get it back to that, and everything will be all peachy, and in 2020 it'll be back for that, back, it's in a couple years, we still got it for a couple more years, but in 2020 it will be back to still be being played on Friday.
Well, and there's not much that can separate you now. I mean, you Nebraska's not the same program they were 10 to 20 years ago. They're trying to get back there, yes, but that's one feather in your cap was having that Friday. I mean, I know there's 14 games scheduled on Black Friday, but it's a smaller number than 48 on the Saturday, so we'll see what happens with that. Jay Moore is with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Bird, what'd you think of Oregon, and did you shut it off ever?
No, never shut it off. I was watching it with a decent amount of people at a watch party, and I will say I went to a different room, another location of the house, to watch it by myself pretty early on. Just because that's kind of how I enjoy watching games in the first place. I just sometimes get around a bunch of people that, I don't want to hear the unnecessary comments from people that really sometimes don't know what they're talking about. So, I watched it all. I was wanting to see how this defense was going to respond. I knew the offense would be okay, which they were okay at best. Obviously, the turnovers were unfortunate and untimely, but I really was expecting the D to play pretty well against this Oregon offense. And I didn't really know what to expect from Oregon, you know, with the new head coach, but I tell you what, Oregon looked pretty damn good offensively, and that quarterback was on point, even though we were, you know, we're giving them some time and playing some pretty soft coverages at that time, but you still got to complete the passes and have the timing. Yeah, I was frustrated, definitely frustrated as everyone was with the first half. But I tell you what, that second half was, there were some keys there. They bounced back, they fought, they created two great turnovers at, you know, at perfect timing with, you know, you get one right after we score the touchdown, you keep the momentum, you get one where it's not looking good. You know, their Oregon's in their four-minute drill, and you're able to cause a fumble to get some points off of that. So I tell you what, the defense stepped up. It's just, you can look at the defense and say they struggle, but you can't go on the road and have four turnovers. You know, we ended up minus two. That cannot happen one bit. I don't care how bad the defense played. You never can go on the road and be minus two in the turnover category. You're going to lose 99.5% of the games you're playing if you do that. Unlike most people, I saw some positive things in the second half. I think the defense will continue to get better. I think the offense will build off that game. I think Tanner Lee will get better from that Oregon performance. It wasn't his best, but you need a game like that. You need a game on the road where your back's against the wall. You've come out the gates and you took one right in the face and you got to fight back. You got to see what you're made of, and that's good that you got one of those early in the season. We'll see if we get better from it, which I do believe they will. But they got another tough challenge against Northern Illinois this week. They run the no huddle, they run the spread, so it's going to be another challenging week for the defense, and hopefully they can step up, learn from the mistakes they made the last 2 weeks, and get better, and get in and get out of this one, and look forward to conference play.
Jay Moore, a few minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Jay Moore 44. Bird, got to ask you about the levels of the defense. I know Diaco's defenses aren't typically super aggressive, but it seems that they're pretty passive right now, and I know guys are trying to learn, but what have you seen from the D-line, and then do you think the linebackers have played up to their capability?
Everyone can obviously play better. I think the D-line, they play the run very well. I know people are complaining about the lack of pass rush, and if you're only going to rush three versus five, pass rush is not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
So do you make the change?
I think you got to start getting aggressive unless you want to start bringing an outside linebacker like a prototypical 3-4 defense has, where you still have it looks like a 5-2, one of the outside linebackers rushes, one drops in the coverage. Mm-hmm. But again, that's kind of what you'll see when you see more pro style offenses, but we've played so much spread and no huddle stuff, it's tough to get that because you need guys in coverage against four wide receivers or potentially even five at times, so you have to protect on that first and foremost. But I think the linebackers can help them out. I think you need to reroute receivers better when they get, you know, your lineup in the slot. I think you got to help out because you can't cover a linebacker, just can't cover a slot receiver. Just, you can't do that. So what has to happen is your other linebacker buddies have got to get a jam on them, have got to slow them up, have got to knock off the timing to give them a chance. Because if you're letting receivers free release all day, it's good luck. I mean, I don't care if it's Patrick Willis back there. I mean, you got to give them some help. And I think this team is just, that's where they can get better. They can learn how to help each other out, how to, just the little things, your alignment and assignment, you know, lining up properly to force a certain release in a situation, lining up properly to get a jam on a tight end or receiver, a slot receiver, what it may be, lining up in a certain wider in a gap against a run so you can play it better. You know, there's little things like that that this team will continue to understand, develop, learn going forward. Just take some reps. It takes some time. You need some live bullet reps to really learn. You know, you can only do so much in practice. Sometimes you got to be thrown into the deep end with some brick shoes on and say, figure it out. And that's kind of what this defense has gotten into, and hopefully they figure out here sooner than later.
Do you like the approach, and I'm kind of speaking specifically to Dante Williams, about he's continuing to coach and preach confidence, and they don't want to shatter these guys' confidence because you've got guys that have been recruited here that are just fabulous athletes that are either in new positions or out of position or learning this position, even though they're familiar with it. And I'm talking about the corner specifically. That's a fine line, isn't it, where you're coaching guys up, you're telling them it's going to be okay, but go make a play at the same time. You got to kind of talk out of both sides of your mouth here, don't you?
You can't just straight up, you know, dog cuss guys. I mean, I think coaches got to be pretty understandable that this is a process. I mean, I think Dante and Diaco and some of the new guys on staff, they're learning as well, just as much as the players are. They're learning how to adjust in games with their new players. So they kind of have to slow themselves down and learn as well, in my opinion. But yeah, you can't, I mean, you're at a pretty fragile part of the season to where you start getting on guys, losing their confidence. You can't have that. What you do is you turn on this tape and you obviously learn, but you tell them, okay, how can we, if you just did this, because a lot of times the athletes are always in somewhat of a decent position. It's just, if they could have done this, it's gotten their eyes around quicker. They lined just a half of a yard inside more or a half of a yard outside more. They would have helped them at their job immensely. And that's kind of what you got to tell them. You didn't do anything wrong. It's not like you're an inefficient athlete. It's just align yourself to be more successful. And I think that's where this defense is losing that. They're just not putting themselves in their best positions at times. And it's just the little things. And the little things they'll continue to build on and continue to grow from and get better from. But you just, like I said, you got to go through these game reps to learn it, to get through it. And that's all it is. I don't think we're being out-athleted at all. I just think we got to put ourselves in some better positions to just win that one play. That's all it is. You just got to win one play at a time. And just that's a lot of times it's how you align yourself. And it's pretty simple as that.
Jay, got about 30 seconds, my man. Growth you'll see in this third game. Where will Nebraska be better defensively?
I think defending the pass will be a little better. I just, it's hard. It's really, I don't know. I think it's still almost like wait and see because sure. I think you'll see Nebraska be a touch more aggressive. I think you'll kind of see, I know they have their backs against the wall and you're down 28 points. And if you're going to make a move, you got to get aggressive. And they start doing some things a little differently in the second half. I think Diaco's getting a little more trust in some guys going into the third game, understanding what he can call, what he can trust the guys with. So I think you'll see a little more aggressiveness early on. Because I think you've got to, you know, a defense to gain confidence. Obviously, you making plays, getting off the field on third down, that's all the confidence in the world to a defense. So getting aggressive on third down, not sitting back there on your heels and say, hey, it's third and four. We're not going to do anything. We'll just, try to tackle them and go make, suit up again for another play. I think you got to start getting this defense off the field and giving them some confidence and knowing that, hey, on third down, we can get a stop. We can get some turnovers. And hopefully I think they'll get a little more aggressive on Saturday.
Jay Moore with us, Hail Varsity at Jay Moore 44. Bird, we'll catch up soon. Thank you, sir.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Okay, caller 9 and 10, you qualify one last time. Northern Illinois, Nebraska, and Blur Party Passes. Caller 9 and 10, you qualify 10 minutes from that giveaway. Caller 9, caller 10, right now, 466-3776, 466-3776.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Practice report news. Sean Ikor speaks, as does Mike Riley. They both need to find a hot tub and relax after the last 3 days of the Black Friday gate. You want a black spa? Deb got one for you. Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. Deb, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm all back to normal from the state fair. And we're really kind of wrapping up the fair, though. This weekend is the final time that you can come in and take advantage of those state fair specials. They've given me a deadline, and that's this weekend. So I'm trying to get everything ordered. I can still squeeze in a few more, though, as always, and you can take advantage of the best deals of the year.
Deb, what can you order me? Because it sounds like you got a selection.
Well, you just said black. The most popular color that we have sold this year is called Midnight Canyon.
Ooh.
And it's kind of a black swirl with browns and gray in it. It is beautiful. So I can get you a black spa. I can get you a red spa. I could get you any color really imaginable.
Just
so
get...
I can match about anything.
Get me a spa I can watch Black Friday football in. You can do that, can't you?
I got the perfect one for you, yes.
Have the spa ladies with us, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. Spasonline.com, also an Omaha location. Well, Deb, that Midnight Canyon, keep telling me about it. I mean, I get the color in my eyes mind, but what else do I get with it?
Okay, you can get that color in many different sizes.
Ooh.
You can get a little two-person. You can go clear up to the big 8-foot by 8-foot spas with the LED lighting, the waterfalls, the big master blaster foot jets,
ooh,
neck and shoulder jets, calves, I mean head to toe jets. So I can find any spa in Midnight Canyon, and we'll get it ordered in for you.
And it'll be in your backyard or your basement for Black Friday. Beautiful.
Yes,
I love it.
Yes, it will.
Deb, the
yes,
spa lady, Ho-Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2, spasonline.com. Deb, I can't wait to hear from you next week. And again, Deb, you got kind of a shot clock going right now to get that State Fair special pricing this weekend, correct?
That's right. Don't let it pass you by. You'll be sorry when it starts to snow and you'll think, oh, wish I had that hot tub in my backyard.
Absolutely. Deb, we will talk soon. Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
There she is, Deb the Spa Lady. Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2. Spasonline.com. You can get a black spa. It's Midnight Canyon's the title. You get a black spa to watch Black Friday football. Here's the news from Sean Eichhorst, HailVarsity.com. Okay, here it is. As of yesterday, this is quoting Sean Eichhorst, I began conversations with my counterpart at Minnesota and of getting that done. That means he wants Black Friday football. I do make mistakes, and that is good to admit. More from Sean Eichhorst on Black Friday. I take full accountability for not being clear. The mistake was not being clear on Tuesday. So it's clarity. Clarity. Listen, I think he and Riley were all about moving on and making that game a Saturday game. Between Tuesday and now, the inbox, the phone call, the mail has piled up. Period. Mike Riley made a comment today as he addressed the media. We'll tell you who's out for Saturday. But this is Riley on Black Friday. If that's been traditional, we will be ready to play. So he's like, okay, cool. But if you polled 99% of football people across the country, they would not want to play on a short week. So Riley doesn't want to do this, doesn't sound like. Again, reading into it. It's tradition. You do some things for tradition. Period. Like, I don't know, recruiting dinners. Like honoring championship teams. Like decorating the inside of the practice facility with Adidas and championships, kind of pointing to that tradition. Start winning them. That used to be a tradition too. John is with us on Hail Varsity. Don't forget, we'll do the drawing in 5 minutes for Nebraska, Northern Illinois, and those Bloor party passes. John, talk to me.
Yeah, I was just looking at some statistics, and I saw that Nebraska's defense has been allowing about 72% pass percentage on the opposing team.
Completion percentage?
Yeah, 72% of the passes are completed.
John, are you a Black Friday guy?
What? And then also, we're ranked 128th in pass defense
sure.
in the nation. So I just wondered if those are just a little hiccup in the road, or is that anything to be really, you know, concerned about? I'm not concerned about the, you know, our quarterback, you know, on the offense, but I am concerned that those, you know, those
the numbers defensively. Sure. John, I'll answer your question. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you tuning in. Yeah, it's absolutely okay, and you should be concerned. But that can be a short-term thing. If that number between third down percentage, completion percentage, and point totals don't change or get lower, absolutely be concerned. More from a practice report. Okay, here's who's out on Saturday for Nebraska. Trey Bryant will not play, will not go. Mikael Wilbon will start. Kalu will not play. David Neville will not play. It's going to be the Wilbon show against a team from Illinois. That has worked well based on how he did against Northwestern. Listen, he needs to show me, and I think he's a good player, that he's better and heads and shoulders better than Divine Ozigbo. Something is up that needs to be addressed on Ziggy if he isn't playing at all Saturday. Now, Jalen Bradley's very, very enticing, very talented freshman. And I think he can do a lot for you, and I think he's got a great football IQ, and I think his size and strength and speed for his age are going to be real assets for Nebraska. He is more like Bryant to me, but you're going to need 2 to 3 backs to get through this season. Will you see anything from Ziggy is my question. I think Wilbon's okay. He's okay. But I think Ziggy's shown you in some games that he can do things well. So to recap, Mike Riley, still not a fan of Friday games, paraphrasing. 99% of football people would not want to play on a short week. That's true and accurate, but this is tradition. And miscommunication was the reason the things got kind of messy. He's been on the phone. He being I-Course has been on the phone with Minnesota. We'll talk next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right, stay away from the flu bug that's going around. Let's tell you what's shaking here. And you have the soccer game that's been postponed in Iowa City because the soccer team for Nebraska has been ill with the flu bug. And what you have is some guys that are catching it on the football team this weekend. Bradley, we talked about him seeing some action and getting him ramped up. He missed practice because of the flu bug. Sichterman and Hymus also missing time because of the flu bug. 4 to 5 guys have gotten sick. Ask your friends from the 96 Nebraska game against Texas how healthy they were against James Brown and company. I mean, they had a brutal flu that weekend after they beat a really good Colorado team, 17-12 in the ice and sleet and rain. Okay, we are going to get ready to give away Nebraska Northern Illinois tickets. One pair of tickets, 2 total tickets, and 2 blur party passes. Okay, now, listen, Colton, that you have a major responsibility in your hands and the boxes behind you. You have done well. You have taken this very seriously. And without further ado, who gets to see Nebraska Northern Illinois and enjoy the blur party passes for Saturday? Who do we got, senor?
Jeff DeBoer.
Jeff DeBoer, come on down. Good for Jeff. We will contact Jeff. Jeff, you need to get these hooked up by tomorrow for Saturday. Good for Jeff. Jeff, thanks for listening. And listen, Gregeth and Hooks do an awesome job, man. They're good dudes. And they do the trivia thing to get you qualified for the 9 to 11 show. I'm lazy, I guess, is what it just comes down to. I'm not doing trivia. We do Applebee's trivia, which is awesome. But I'm just letting you call in and qualify throughout the football season. That's what I'm going to do, and we'll tack on some Blur Party Passes each home weekend. So, good. Mr. DeBoer, good for him. Colton will get in touch with you. Got you caught up with who's out, who's sick, who's carrying the football. Wilbon on Saturday. And we got you caught up with I-Corps comments on the miscommunication and not being clear. So Sean I-Corps is saying, look, my bad. And I've been working with Minnesota to try and get this Black Friday thing a reality. Riley doesn't care. He wants to play ball. But a short week is nothing that you're down with as a coach. I completely understand that as well. But oh well. You play it. Great, great stuff from Gary Barnett today on Black Friday on the showcase and on Nebraska moving forward. Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, great takes on the defense and their progress or where they need to go. Bill Baker joined us from Northern Illinois. And Phil Steele, Mr. College Football, Phil Steele got us going in hour one. We were at Miller Time Pub tomorrow. The High Life Hour gets rocking at 4. We start at 4. I know where you can eat and drink and be merry. How about Miller Time Pub, 13th and L, inside the Cornhusker Marriott? Be there with us tomorrow as Hail Varsity is on the road 4 to 6. Miller Time Pub inside the Cornhusker. Be there. We're there 4 to 6. See you there with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.